Please turn with me in your Bibles to the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Galatians in the New Testament, Galatians chapter 4, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16. Galatians 4, verse 16. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And our subject this morning is truth your friend or your foe? That's our subject for this gospel message this morning. And these are the words of the Apostle Paul to the Galatians. Not so long ago in our gospel service, we looked at a verse from this same letter, so I won't say too much about the context, except to remind you that Paul is writing to believers in the church at Galatia, which is a place. Galatia was a place, certainly. Now it's in modern-day Turkey, and the writing of this letter was around 20 years after the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And even in that short time, just 20 years after Christ's death, there is a church in Galatia. And in this part of the letter to the Galatians, the Apostle Paul is beseeching the Galatians. He's pleading with them. And why is he pleading with them? Well, because he is concerned that they are being fooled and deceived by false teachers. False teachers apparently had come into the church at Galatia, and they were bringing another gospel, preaching another gospel, a works-based gospel. They were saying that the salvation of God is not free. It's not entirely free. It's not simply by faith. You have to follow rules. You have to follow the Jewish ceremonial. These false teachers were known as Judaizers, and they were saying that Christ is not enough. To believe in Christ is not enough to be right with God. You need to follow the Jewish ceremonial practices. You need to follow the dietary laws, for example, of the Jews. You need to be circumcised if you're male. That's what you need to do. Faith in Christ is not enough. You need to keep the Jewish ceremonial. They were Judaizers, and that was their false teaching. They were bringing the church back into works, earning your way into the favor of God, performing your way into God's favor. And so the Apostle Paul, in this letter, he reminds them that salvation is indeed free. It is by grace alone, through faith alone. But it appears that with the entering in of the false teachers in the church has actually turned on the Apostle Paul. So these false teachers, they've not only corrupted the gospel, but they've turned the people against the Apostle Paul. And this greatly saddens him, because when he had visited them previously and been with them previously, they had loved him so much. And we read of that in verse 15. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Now, some suggest that the Apostle Paul had some kind of problem with his eyes. We can't be entirely sure of this, but some say that the Apostle may have had a disability, a partial blindness. And the Galatians were so moved out of concern for him and cared for him so much that if it had been possible, they would have given him their own eyes. That's how much they loved the Apostle Paul. They loved him so much when he was with them. But now what has happened? He's become their enemy. And why? Verse 16. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And this is going to be our focus this morning. And really, the great subject before us is truth, the subject of truth. Well, it's a very important subject, and particularly when we consider the Bible, when we consider the Word of God, because the Word of God presents itself as truth. And we speak about this very often. The Word of God is truth. It's not opinion. It's not a theory. It's not a hypothesis. It's not biased in any way. The Bible is not biased. It doesn't have any political slant. The Bible is not left wing or right wing. The Bible is truth. That's what the Bible is. That's how it presents itself to us. The Bible is truth. The psalmist in Psalm 119 and verse 60 understood this. Thy word is true from the beginning. From the very beginning, right from the very first word in Genesis, even some Christians nowadays don't believe this, but from the very beginning, from Genesis, the Bible is true, every part of it. The Lord Jesus Christ, and we read this in our second scripture reading, when he was praying for his disciples, John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. The Lord Jesus Christ said that. And this is something that we ought to believe. The Bible, of course, is very much against lying. Not only is the Bible presenting itself as truth, but it's very much against lying. One of the Ten Commandments, the holy law of God, you will know this very well, states that we are not to bear false witness. In other words, we are not to willfully lie. Lying is a sin in the sight of God. So the Bible is for truth and it's against lying. And indeed, the Bible distinguishes between a true prophet and a false prophet on these same grounds. A false prophet, a false teacher, like the ones who had come into the church at Galatia. A false prophet will not tell you the truth. A false prophet, a false teacher will only tell you what you want to hear. Not the truth, what you want to hear. Only those things that will win him applause and will win him friends and will win him esteem and perhaps money and make him very liked and make him very famous. A false prophet, he has no interest in the truth, only in himself. But a true prophet, a real prophet sent from God, he will speak the truth, no matter how unpopular it is, no matter how much he is hated for it and despised and rejected for it. A true prophet will always speak the truth. That's how you can distinguish between a false prophet and a true prophet. A false prophet, he will just tell you what you want to hear. A true prophet will speak the truth, even if he is hated for it. And that's what's happened to the Apostle Paul. He's spoken the truth. He's given them the truth, and now he's become an enemy, you see? He's become an enemy to the people because truth is so unpopular in the church of Galatia at this time. But telling the truth, of course, speaking the truth will make you unpopular even now, in the modern day, not just in Galatia 2,000 years ago. In the modern day, the truth can make you very unpopular. You have to be very careful what you say nowadays, even in private conversation with somebody. If you are too honest, if you are too blunt, if you are too quick to speak the truth, then you could be in a lot of trouble. Truth is unpopular. And truth nowadays, I don't know if you've noticed, I'm sure you have, truth is increasingly nowadays described in negative terms. When people speak about truth, it's always in a negative way or couched in a negative way. I heard the term the other day about a truth bomb. A truth bomb. Do you know what that is? Well, we won't go into the great details, but just the way it's described, as though truth is something to be scared of. Truth is destructive. A truth bomb, like you would run away from a bomb if it was thrown at you. So many people are running away from the truth. The truth is destructive. That's how people think of it nowadays. It's a bomb. It's to be avoided. Another saying, perhaps more common, the truth hurts. And again, that causes people to avoid speaking the truth. The truth hurts. If you speak the truth, you'll hurt somebody. And if you hurt somebody, that's immoral, that's evil. So don't ever tell the truth. The truth hurts, so don't mention the truth. That's wicked. Don't ever speak the truth. Don't ever be brutally honest. That's another way that people say it. To be honest is to be brutal. It's brutality. Don't speak the truth. It's violence. That's the way the world thinks about the truth. It's brutal, it hurts, and so the truth nowadays is so often shunned and avoided. And this is why, in the modern age, the Bible is not liked. This is why the Bible is not esteemed, because it speaks the truth concerning all things. It speaks the truth concerning God, of course. It is the truth that God exists. It's the truth. The Bible never makes a case for the existence of God, or even attempts to make a case for the existence of God. It simply presents God as true. It's so obvious that God exists. In fact, the Bible states that every one of us already knows that God exists. Every single person, every single human being knows that God exists. It's so obvious from nature. It's so obvious from the way that we are made. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Our own consciences within us. We all have a conscience within us that tells us the truth. Our consciences don't just teach us what is right and what is wrong. Our consciences show us and bear witness of that which is false and that which is true. And even within us, we all know that God exists. So according to the Bible, there's no such thing as an atheist. There's nobody who doesn't believe in God. We all know the truth that God exists. It's just that some people suppress the truth. They hold down the truth. They know the truth. But it's a question of whether you accept the truth or whether you suppress the truth. That's what the Apostle Paul said. Suppressing the truth, holding the truth in unrighteousness. We all know the truth. It's just a matter of whether we accept it or whether we suppress it. But God is true. And not only does God exist, not only is that true, but he's actually the source of all truth. God actually is truth. When I was saved, and many of you will know this, I wasn't seeking after religion. I was seeking after truth. That's what I was seeking after. I didn't really have any great interest to be in a church or even really to read the Bible, first of all, but I wanted to know what the truth was. What is the truth? All I could see around me were just opinions and theories, and people giving me advice. I wanted the truth. What is the truth about this world, about this life, about people? I want the truth. And when you seek the truth earnestly, it will always lead you to the Word of God. It will lead you to the Bible, because God is the truth. He's the only one who knows what truth is, because he is the truth. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, said of himself when he was on earth. The Lord Jesus, who is God, the second person of the Trinity, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the truth. God is truth. And so if you seek truth, if you look for truth, you will always end up coming to the Word of God, coming to Christ. God alone is truth. And well, when I read the Word of God, as does anybody who earnestly seeks and reads the Word of God, we understand what truth is. And we understand how things ought to be. Now, that's a great part of what truth is, by the way. Truth teaches us how things ought to be, how things should be. That's a great part of the truth. How things should be. Things are not how they should be in this world. You all know this. Things are not how they ought to be. Morality, the idea of morality in today's society, what is right, what is wrong, that's not what it ought to be. It's not how it should be. How should it be? How should morality be defined? You go to the Word of God. That's the truth. That's how it should be. But it's not how it ought to be in this world. And so many other things you could mention. How the world sees things nowadays. You think of marriage, for example. People's idea of marriage. It's not what it ought to be. It's not what it should be. The world has redefined marriage to be something else. But how should it be? What should it be like? What's the truth about marriage? You go to the Word of God. It teaches you the truth about marriage. And all of these things, so many other things. The world is not what it ought to be. The state of the world is not what it ought to be. You look at the world, you watch the news. This world is not how it should be, full of crime and violence and corruption. That's not how it should be. And why is the world like this? Well, the Bible teaches us, it tells us, the world is as it is because man is not how he should be. Man himself is not how he ought to be. The Bible teaches us that we are a fallen human race. The human race, mankind, is fallen. He's not what he ought to be. That's the truth about man. We are a fallen human race. Why is that? Well, the Bible makes it very clear. Because of our sin. Because we are sinners. It started with Adam. And Adam, of course, is a true historical figure. The Word of God is true from the beginning. It starts with Adam. Adam was created by God, good and upright. Created by God as he ought to be. He was created good and upright, but what happened? Adam chose to disobey God, to sin against God, and he fell. And the whole of the human race fell with him. All of the descendants of Adam, all of us, we are all born sinners. That's the truth about us. Now, of course, people always protest. This doesn't make you popular, preaching this. And people will always say, you're not speaking the truth. How dare you say we are all sinners? What about all the good things that people do? The people can be kind. People can be loving. People can be generous. Even people who are not Christians. They can do good, kind, and charitable things. And well, I fully accept that they can do that. That's true. People can be good. But it's not the whole truth. Yes, it's true that people can do good things, but that's not the whole truth about us, about mankind. The whole truth is, yes, we do good things, but we've also done bad things in our lives. Every single one of us. That's the whole truth. If you want the truth, don't take half of it. Take the whole truth. The whole truth is, we have done bad things. We have all, if we examine our conscience, we've all been selfish. We've all been covetous at times. We've all lied. We've all done immoral things, shameful things. We all have secrets in our lives. That's the truth about us. And the Bible tells us the truth. It doesn't hide anything, even when you read the Bible. Even those in the Bible, the Bible tells the whole truth about Abraham, for example. Abraham, yes, a wonderful man of faith. But you know, Abraham lied. The Bible tells us the truth. He lied. He was a liar. Lied about Sarah not being his wife. You think about David, King David, a glorious, wonderful king. Yes, a man after God's own heart. Yes. But he was an adulterer. The Bible tells us the whole truth about David. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. He murdered Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba. The whole truth about David, it doesn't hide Simon Peter. You could go on in the New Testament. Simon Peter, the head apostle, the head disciple, wonderful man of God. That's not the whole truth. He betrayed Christ 3 times. You see, the Bible gives us the whole truth about us, about man. We have all fallen short of God's holy standard. And we all deserve to be punished for our sin. But this is why the Lord Jesus Christ has come. He came to take upon himself the punishment for our sin. God must punish sin. Do we realize this? We are all sinners, but God is holy. God is holy, God is just, and because of his holiness, because of his justice, he must do something about every sin that is committed. He must punish sin. Now, some people, again, they don't like this teaching. I've met many people, they will say to me, God is not like that. The God I believe in would never do that. The God I believe in doesn't mind sin. The God I believe in doesn't have to punish anybody. The God I believe in would never send anybody to hell. That's the God they believe in. And I have to say, you don't believe in the true God. You just believe something that you like to believe, that's good for you, that's nice for you. But the truth about God, the truth about God is that he is holy, he is just, and he must punish sin. Otherwise, he is unjust. If he just lets sin go unpunished, he's an unjust God. And he is not the true God. God must punish sin. Yes, that's true. But dear friends, that's not the whole truth about God. God must punish sin because he's just, but God is also love. That's the whole truth about God. God is just, but God is also love. And out of love, he sent the Lord Jesus Christ to come and take the punishment instead of us, in our place. To stand condemned for us, to be our substitute, to be our scapegoat. We have sinned. God demands justice, but God sends Christ, his only begotten Son. And Christ, out of love for us, well, he loves us and he gives himself for us. Father, punish me instead of them. I will bear away their sin, so that they may be forgiven, so that they may be saved, so that they may be made right with thee. That's the truth. Christ truly came into this world. Christ truly entered into history, into time, and he has truly borne away all our sins. He has truly loved each and every one who trusts in him. That's the gospel. That's the true gospel, dear friends. So many Christians nowadays, they don't seem to know what the true gospel is. The gospel has been changed, just like the time of the Apostle Paul with these Galatians. So many people give a false gospel, a prosperity gospel. Or perhaps the gospel is just about being a good person. Dear friends, this is the true gospel. If you want the truth about what the good news is, what's the good news? It's Christ has come down from heaven to earth to suffer and to die for the sins of all those who trust in him. He's our substitute. He is our Savior. So, dear friends, this is the truth of the Word of God. I trust that you will not despise this gospel, that you will not despise the Bible for telling you the truth. Somebody who tells you the truth is a friend. A friend is somebody who tells you the truth. Somebody who lies to you, somebody who tells you things that are not true, that's not a friend, that's an enemy. Somebody who's lying to you. You would never make friends with somebody who always lies to you. You make friends with people who are honest to you, who tell you the truth. And Christ is the truth. Christ is your greatest friend. He's not your enemy. If there's anybody here who resists Christ, he is my enemy. I don't want him. He will oppress me. That is not the truth. The truth is that Christ, he is the only way to God. He's calling you even this day to know him. You must know Christ. You cannot be right with God without him. There is no other way, no other religion, none of your works, none of your good works. If you believe in your good works, you're not believing the truth. It's only Christ, because he's the only one who was born away, washed away all of your sin. And that is the truth of the word of God. Come to Christ, and you will know that joy of living in truth.